And now would you please open your Bibles to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. There's a very brief statement made there, but it is the overriding, or I should say, an overriding principle that covers all of our lives as Christians. It uses the word all, and or whatever, uses the phrase whatever you do, do all. And that shows the universality of the application of the passage. Sometimes passages are limited by their context, although they have unlimited language in the passage of the statement itself. There's nothing in the context of this passage to limit the application. This is a principle that applies to every facet, every area of our lives as Christians. And therefore, this is a very important passage. It's hard to overstate the importance of this passage in our lives as Christians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything that we do is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. A number of years ago, in fact, this has been well over 30 years ago, I was a part of a discussion that was taking place on a Sunday afternoon. The elders of the church, where I was the local preacher at the time, this was down in Conway, and the elders and the preacher of another congregation were meeting together on Sunday afternoons to discuss differences between the two congregations with the design of settling our differences so we could have full fellowship with each other. And the other congregation was practicing some things that I believe then and believe now are unscriptural, not authorized by the New Testament. I was doing most of the speaking on behalf of the elders where I was, and an elder in the other congregation was doing most of their speaking. And I had asked him some questions that had kind of backed him into a corner. And he couldn't give a scriptural answer to the questions that I'd posed to him. And he got frustrated. And he turned red in the face. And he said, "Well, we do lots of things without Bible authority." And I just answered off the top of my head. I don't think it was bald then, but I answered off the top of my head. And I would not change my answer to this day. I said, "Yes, you do lots of things without Bible authority, but we don't. And if you'll show us one thing," now see, this on Sunday afternoon, we met at 6 o'clock that evening. "If you'll show us one thing that we do without Bible authority, I'll make a public confession of sin tonight." Well, that ended the discussion. There was no more to be said, because we just had to agree to disagree. But when they were going to do things without Bible authority, and we're going to have Bible authority for everything that we do, you can't meet until you resolve that difference. And they were not willing to resolve that difference. I believe the statement we have before us covers that we have to have Bible authority for everything that we do. But what this is an example of the misunderstanding that brethren have towards the nature, and I have here the nature of Bible authority, but it's or the nature of the divine pattern, because I do believe there's a divine pattern that we are to follow. But it has to do with the nature of authority. Actually, all authority has the same nature. It has a dual nature. And it's not that some things are one and some are the other. All of them, all things that authorize something in the Scriptures, have the same two qualities that express the nature of authority. And it's not just the nature of Bible authority, it's the nature of all legitimate authority. I'm going to use, as we go through the lesson, illustrations from the home, because the same thing is true of authority in the home of the parents to their children. And so this is just the nature of authority. This is the way authority is. All authority has two qualities. It has, by the way, I'm getting ahead of myself. Our institutional brethren, those who practice things that are not authorized, they're brethren, but they're brethren in error. And they practice things that are not authorized in the Word of God. They make the statement, we do lots of things without Bible authority. And by what they mean by that is we do things that you don't find specifically mentioned in the Scriptures. And if you misunderstand, then I'll say more about this as we go. We have a water fountain out in the foyer. And brethren for years have asked, well, where's your authority for a water fountain? It's Hebrews 10:25, the authority to assemble. But see, I'll say more about that as we go in the nature of authority. They think because the water fountain's not specifically mentioned, or the restrooms are not specifically mentioned, that we don't have authority for those things. But they're generally authorized, or inclusively authorized, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the command to assemble. And so that's the nature of authority. But see, they misunderstand the nature of authority. And so they conclude we do lots of things without Bible authority because we do things that are not specifically mentioned in Scriptures. Now, on the other hand, I've had several debates in my life as a preacher, public discussions of differences with brethren, and those who are not brethren. But the first debate I ever had, September 1972. I was just a kid preacher at the time, but I didn't know it. But at any rate, I had a debate with Brother E.H. Miller of LaGrange, Georgia, over in Rogers, and he was of the No Bible Class One Cup persuasion. He believed that our Bible class arrangement of teaching the Bible is unscriptural, and he believed that you can only have one communion cup, and by the way, also one piece of bread, for the Lord's Supper. And there's brethren in town that take that position, the No Bible Class One Cup brethren. We had a debate over that in 1972. Brother Miller had written a tract, and of course I studied that tract in preparation for the debate. And in that tract, now I want you to get this carefully, the statement he made is a true statement, but his application is a false application. Here's the statement that he made in his tract. There's not one verse in all the Bible that says one word about dividing an assembly into two or more classes with teachers teaching at the same time. Do you know what? That's a true statement. There's no such verse found in the Bible that specifically mentions dividing this assembly into various classes and teachers teaching at the same time. Does that mean it's not authorized? I believe I can show abundance of authority in the Scriptures for it, that there's no specific arrangement for teaching for the church to teach the Bible that's bound in the New Testament. Yes, we can have the one undivided assembly such as we have right now, and it's the only arrangement in which they will have. Well, you know, I just about to make a misstatement. Those same brethren, and I reminded them of that, those same brethren that think that you only have the one undivided assembly to have Bible class or have Bible teaching, they have radio programs and television programs. There's a television program on Sunday morning out of Springfield, and some of you watch it. I haven't seen it. I understand it's a good program. That's put on by the No Bible Class One Cup Brethren. Now, I want to know, where is a television program specifically mentioned in the Bible as an arrangement for teaching the Scriptures? Now, how can you say that the Bible classes are wrong and have a television program? It doesn't make good nonsense. I'm about to start debating here. I'll back off on that. But don't you see, they don't understand the nature of authority, not just Bible authority, all authority has the same nature. And if we're going to understand what we're to do in order to please the Lord, we must understand the nature of authority. And it's not complicated. All authority is both exclusive and inclusive. That's the nature of the divine pattern, but it's simply the nature of authority. Roger was career military. He had to understand those things, or he could not have survived as an officer in the military. And you fellas that served in the military, you may not have thought about it, but you had to understand it, or you would have been sent to, you would have been court-martialed for not understanding how to obey orders and what leads to disobeying of orders. You had to understand these things. Same thing is true in the family. In order for our children to be raised properly, they have to understand, they may not have stated this way, but you have to, this is the nature of authority. All authority is both exclusive and inclusive. Well, let's talk about this. Now, I'm going to explain and illustrate. I'm going to start proving this shortly. Don't worry, I'll use plenty of scriptures. But first, I want to get before us what we're talking about. Here we have a circle that represents the divine pattern, what the Lord has authorized us to do in whatever realm it is. Now, that divine pattern is both exclusive and inclusive. By inclusive, I mean that there are some things that are not specifically mentioned, but they're either necessary, helpful, or incidental to carrying out what the Lord tells us to do, and they're authorized also. That includes our Bible class arrangement for teaching the Bible. He's authorized the church to teach the Bible. He hasn't told us, he hasn't bound upon us a specific arrangement, and so it's up to us to decide what arrangements will best carry out the command to teach the Scriptures. Let me illustrate this. I'm going to go back to several years ago, quite a few years ago, when our youngest son was still a teenager. We were living in Grenada, Mississippi. And to make this understandable, we lived 3 blocks from the nearest grocery store. And so it's 6 o'clock in the evening, and I'm watching the evening news, and Sandy's fixing supper, and Sandy says, Keith, we need a loaf of bread for supper. And, of course, I'm too lazy to get up and go, and so I say, Tim, go to the store and get your mother a loaf of bread. And I give him a $20 bill. And Tim goes to the store, and he is back in 5 minutes. And he brings me my correct change. I'll say he brings me back $17 from buying that loaf of bread. That was several years ago. But at any rate, he gives me my correct change. And I said, well, Tim, how'd you get to the store so fast? You only haven't been gone 5 minutes. He said, well, Dad, it's only 3 blocks. It doesn't take long to drive to the grocery store. And I say, Tim, who told you you could take the car? And Tim says, and he would do this. Tim says, Dad, you just said go. You didn't say how to go. So I took the car. Now, who's right and who's wrong? Well, now, if I'm being honest, I have to back off and say, all right, Tim, you're right. I didn't say walk. I just said go. I didn't say how to go. Isn't that right? And do you think he wouldn't take advantage? I guarantee he'd take advantage of that. That's the inclusive. Now, if I just say go, then that you can go any way you want to go as long as you don't break the law, right? And that is it. And he was old enough to drive. That's the inclusive nature. It includes whatever is essential, whatever is helpful, and whatever is incidental to carrying out what is authorized. But at the same time, now it's not that some things have this exclusive quality and some have this inclusive quality. All of them have both qualities. Some also, authority is exclusive. Whatever you're not authorized to do by the Lord, you can't do it. You don't have to find a verse that says, thou shalt not. You have to find the verse that authorizes the thing. Now go back to Tim, and here's the nature of authority. I give Tim the $20 bill, and I say, Tim, go to the store and get your mother a loaf of bread. He's gone for 3 hours. And by the time he gets back, I'm hot under the collar. And I say, here's your loaf of bread. And I say, Tim, where's my change? He says, well, Dad, I spent it all. $20 for a loaf of, and we're talking 25 years ago, $20 for a loaf of bread? Well, Dad, you know, I also went to the movie. And while I was at the movie, I had to buy me a popcorn, and with Tim, he would have brought a root beer and a popcorn. And you know, after the movie, I had some money left over, so I went and played some video games, and you don't have your money left, Dad. And I would say, Tim, who told you you could take my money and go to the movie? Who gave you permission to do that? Who'd be right? Dad'd be right. And there'd be a hot time in the old town tonight because that was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. And in that case, he acted without, and by the way, he would not have done that. But he would have acted without authority. Bible authority has both exclusive and inclusive qualities. That's simply the nature of authority. Exclusive. Anything the Lord is not authorized is excluded. I don't have to find a verse that says thou shalt not. Whoever's contending for that has to find the verse that authorizes it. Don't have to find the verse that specifically mentions it. You have to find the verse that authorizes it. Just like when I said about that water fountain or our restrooms. No, they're not specifically mentioned. But we're told to assemble, Hebrews 10:25, to worship the Lord. Everything necessary, incidental, and helpful for assembling is included in the command to assemble. And that's the water fountain, the restrooms, the fans, the lights, whatever. And by the way, the church building. There's never in the scriptures a church building, a building owned by the brethren, as a place to come together to worship. They're never specifically mentioned in the scriptures. But they're authorized in Hebrews chapter 10, verse, and every other Bible verse that talks about the saints coming together to worship the Lord. That is the exclusive nature of authority. You have to find authority for what you do, but at the same time, it is inclusive. What the Lord authorizes also includes what is necessary, what is helpful to carry out that which the Lord has authorized. Now, that implies some things which we need to understand. I've already stated this, but I want to get it through where we will never miss it. Well, I'll come to that later, where we'll never misunderstand this. Now, let's prove both parts of this. I said that Bible authority is exclusive. If you don't find it authorized, you can't do it. When that fellow said, we do lots of things without Bible authority, he was wrong. Well, he was right about them, they do, but that didn't make it right. You have to have authority for what you do. Our text is the first and is positively stated. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything we do in word or deed has to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus? In Acts chapter 4, this is not in your notes, you can write this in. In Acts chapter 4, verse 18, the Jewish council commanded Peter and John not to preach or teach in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what were they forbidding Peter and John to do? Were they forbidding Peter and John to say the name Jesus or to say Lord Jesus? No. If they were doing that, they had violated their own command when they said not to preach in the name of Jesus. What were they forbidding them to do? They were forbidding them to preach by the authority of Jesus. That's what they were forbidding. If you do something by the authority in the name of Jesus, you do it by His authority. Now, Roger was an officer. If Roger had some subordinate officer tell the fellows, now, Major Pitchford commands us to do this, and everybody gets busy and does that, and Major Pitchford had not issued that command, that officer would have been insubordinate, wouldn't he? He'd probably been court-martialed over that. He was acting, he was giving a command where no command had been issued. He was claiming to act in the name of Major Pitchford, and Major Pitchford hadn't given him the authority to do that. Now, that's what to act by in the name of somebody is to act by their authority. If I claim to be doing something in the name of the Lord Jesus, I must have authority from Him to do it. And let me give you another passage that is not in your notes to drive this point home. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name? Done many wonders in your name, worked miracles in your name, and then I would declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me. Now get this carefully. You who work lawlessness. That's the New King James Version. The old King James says iniquity, but it means lawlessness. And that means you're acting without authority from the King. I can claim I'm acting in the name of Jesus. I can claim I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. But if I'm acting outside of His law, if I'm doing those things that He has not authorized in His word, then I am acting in lawlessness without His authority. To do things in the name of the Lord Jesus means I do those things by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And if I'm claiming to do it in His name, I better have authority from Him. I better be able to put my finger on the verse in the New Testament that authorizes. I didn't say mentions it, but I said authorizes. You know, I can put my finger on the verse that authorizes that water fountain, that authorizes those restrooms. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, the command to assemble, that authorizes this church building. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, the command to assemble. I can put my finger on the verse. If you're going to claim something is in the name of the Lord Jesus, you better be able to put your finger on the verse that authorizes it. Otherwise, you're acting without authority. You're guilty of lawlessness. And Jesus said, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. I never knew you. We have to have authority from Jesus. It's stated negatively in 2 John verse 9. Whoever transgresses, the word transgress means to go beyond. The old American Standard Version is my favorite translation of this verse. I believe it makes it clear, even though it uses the old uths. It says, whoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Goeth, that word transgress means to go on, go ahead, go in front, to go where you've not been authorized. It means to do those things which you've not been directed to do by the Lord Jesus Christ in His teaching. Whoever transgresseth, transgresses, goes onward, and does not abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Every step I take without authority from Jesus Christ is a step taken without God, away from God, and in the direction of eternal condemnation. Did you get that statement? You may not have gotten that. I'm going to run it by again. I want you to count all four legs and make sure you see this. Everything I do without authority from the Lord Jesus Christ is a step taken without God, a step taken away from God, and a step taken toward eternal condemnation. I must have authority. I must do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whoever does not, who goes onward, does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. Now, there are statements of the exclusive nature. I have to have authority. I don't have to find the verse that says, thou shalt not. The one who's defending the practice has to find the verse that authorizes it. Now, but the same thing, all this, everything also has that inclusive quality. Every command, every example, every implication has the inclusive quality as well as the exclusive. What does that mean? It includes whatever is necessary, incidental, and helpful to carrying out that which the Lord authorizes. Let me illustrate this, and this will also be the authority for the statement. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I mentioned during the Bible class this morning that plans are that I will be going to the Samoan Islands again in December to preach with them. Preacher, where's your authority to go to the Samoan Islands and preach the gospel? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. There's the authority for it. Well, how are you going to go, preacher? I'm planning on flying on an airplane. Well, where's your authority for flying on an airplane? Well, he just said go. He did not say how to go. And so any way that's lawful to get there is author. And by the way, no, I'll have to have a passport to go. I don't have to have a visa to get into Samoa, but I have to have a passport. Well, I've got my passport. And well, where's your authority for a passport? Mark 16, 15. You've got to have it in order to get there. And so my authority for a passport is Mark 6. And by the way, if I go to Kenya a year from now, I'll have to have a visa to get into Kenya. Where's your authority for a visa? Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It includes whatever is helpful, whatever is necessary in order to accomplish that which the Lord has authorized. Now then, let me give some examples of how this applies. In Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, the Lord directed Philip to go to the ropes run from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He went there and he saw a man riding along in a chariot, and the angel Lord directed him to go and preach to this man. And so it says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, and he, Philip said to the man who was the eunuch from Ethiopia, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him, and he did so. So Philip ran and rode in a chariot. In order, Philip, where's your authority to run and to ride? Well, the Lord said, go to the road, run Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He didn't say how to go. The Lord said, go into all the world, preach gospel to every creature. He didn't say how to go. And so for some reason, Philip ran. I'd have a hard time doing that. And he rode in a chariot. Where's your authority for riding in a chariot? Go! That's your authority for riding in a chariot. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 4, Paul and Barnabas left Antioch to go on their first journey of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. So they were sent by the Holy Spirit. And how did they go? They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. They sailed in a ship. Paul, where's your authority to go in a sail ship? The Lord said, go. He didn't say how to go. And so apparently the best way to get at that time, in fact, no apparently about it, obviously the best way to get from Antioch to Cyprus was by sail ship. Now, I don't go by sail ships today. Now, listen carefully. Where does the Bible ever mention going in an airplane? This afternoon, I'll be going over to Evening Shade to preach. I'll be going to preach in Evening Shade, Arkansas. I'll be going in a car over there. Where does the Bible say driving a car to preach? It doesn't. Cars didn't exist back then. Airplanes didn't exist. But it just says go. And those are ways that you can go. And I can put my finger on the verse that authorizes everything that I will be doing. Whether it's going to Evening Shade, or whether it's going to Samoa, or whether it's going to Kenya, I can put my finger, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature to say how to go. And so whatever way we can get there is authorized, and whatever it takes to get there, and whatever is helpful to get there is authorized in the command to go. That's the nature of authority. And you know, I had planned to make several applications of this today. And as usual, I've been too long-winded. I don't know why I do that. And so you're going to have to come back next Sunday and hear some more about this. And by the way, there may be another Sunday after that. And we'll make some application of these things. And here's what I invite you to do. You study these principles on your own. Don't take my word for the meaning of the principles, for the truth of the principles, or for the application of the principles. You study this on your own. And you ask me questions, and I'll do my best to answer your questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'll try to find the answer. And if I find out I'm wrong about something, I'll change. And if you don't think that's true, you just try me on that. We all have to have authority from the Scripture for everything that we do, but we need to understand the nature of authority. Well, thanks for coming. We're going to stand in just a minute and sing the invitation number 344.